And this was in 1966. Now, you mentioned to me that you had lived in Lenny's house there for a while.
I lived in his house at a couple different times. I lived downstairs, and Lee lived up on top of me, Lee Kornitz, and then Lenny lived on top. There was like three floors there.
Mm-hmm.
And Warren Marsh came over and built me a nice shower. And Warren likes to build things. besides being what I consider I consider him, and I have for many years, the greatest saxophone player in the world, Warren Marsh. He's also a great carpenter.
Man of many talents.
Yes.
Too, anyway.
Yeah.
You also were mentioning to me, and I have to bring all these points out to the audience so they get the whole gist of what we're talking about here, the many hours that you and Lenny would just play music together.
Oh, yeah. We played just about every day, him and I. Sometimes we would play for seven hours. Sometimes we did play for 10 hours one time. And most of the time, a lot of recording was happening. Lenny always put the tape on when him and I were together. We did so. There's many hours of tape of him and I doing duets. And I heard that eventually some of these things are going to be released. He wanted to do that. And some information I got that they may be releasing some albums with the duets, just him and I. I hope so. Anyway,
that would certainly be great. There's so much music that people want to hear from Lenny and. It takes a record company executive, sometimes a record company lower executive, to come up with the tape and say, "Oh, please, you know, can we put this out?" And Atlantic just did with that double album, that Requiem album,
mm-hmm.
and which was marvelous. And I believe there's another one hanging around someplace that they haven't sent me yet. And if there is, I want it, guys.
Because the Nutristano, I think that might be the other one, the Nutristano.
Yeah, I think there's another.
Yeah,
another piece of product out there somewhere that mm-hmm. we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
This piece that we just played was really the chord changes from Billie Holiday.
Billie Holiday's Fooling Myself, the vocal that she did on Fooling Myself.
Now, of course, the tempo was a little different, and Lenny, as you mentioned, started in a weird place in the tune, so it would be hard for us to listen and hear those changes unless we really knew up front and all of that. It's not the case with some of the pieces, though. Some of the pieces, you pick them right out.
Yeah, some of the pieces, well, more standard-type tunes like All of Me and Indiana, things like that, Out of Nowhere. This is a little bit more obscure, I think, this particular tune.
And you also said that one of the things that he would teach his students, and what you use to teach your students, is taking recorded solos off of the records, having his students do that, and you have your students do that. This is something that takes a lot of dedication. You really have to find students that really are involved and really want to
definitely
do something like that, because it's a lot of work.
A lot of work. A lot of time, a lot of work, very tedious, but the dividends pay off, believe me. You get Lester Young solos, eventually get to Bird, but starting off with Lester Young solos, and I have a student right now, my guitar player, John Klopotowski, who's studying with me, and he has Warren Marsh's solo on All Things You Are, and he even has the Requiem solo almost down. I think he's got about four courses of the Requiem solo, but he works very, very hard, and he gets the lines too, the fantastic lines that Lenny wrote, like 317 East 32nd Street on the chords of Out of Nowhere, things like that. So
a little bit earlier, you were in here when we were playing that piece by Ron Ashet.
Yeah.
Lineup.
Yes.
Rather good job, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Taking Lenny's lineup off the record. And
yeah, All of Me chords. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really something. It's another talent. It's another part of the shelf for you, the audience. There is performing, there is reading music, there is improvising, and there is another part of it all called just taking solos off of records. And just think about that for a second. If you are a non-musician, and even if you are a musician, think about any one solo that you've heard here in the past two hours and a half that I've been playing music for you, thinking about sitting there with your record player or your tape machine, preferably your tape machine,
mm-hmm.
and trying to get each note in the proper value on a piece of paper so that you yourself could perform on your instrument, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
It is not an easy task.
It's not.
Take it from one who knows.
The technique, though, is really the way to go about it, Rick, is singing the solo with the player on the record, singing with the record, and eventually getting it down to where you can sing it without the record. Then you transcribe it to your instrument. When you can sing the solo without singing it with the record, then you put it on your instrument. You don't put it on your instrument until you do that. And once you have it down, once you have where you can sing the solo without singing it with the record, it's no problem putting it on your instrument. You have it down in your head and all in your fingertips, and well, if you're a bass player like us anyway, in our fingertips.
Well, that's interesting, because what it does, obviously, and you mentioned this earlier, I will take a line from you here, is it just adds to your musical vocabulary. And when you are playing and performing, you can interweave all of these different lines or pieces of them, sometimes the whole solo, in your own playing.
Sure, definitely.
It makes it fun.